It's the Locked On Podcast Network. Local experts on the biggest stories.
You are Locked On Vikings, your daily Minnesota Vikings podcast.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
It's Locked On Vikings on the Locked On Podcast Network. Sam and Sage back with you on a Friday, talking Vikings, talking NFL Combine, and it's the month of March, which means that all this stuff's going to really start heating up now. And I think yesterday, Mike Zimmer sort of stoked the fire. He talked to several different outlets. He talked to KFAN radio. He talked to local reporters, talked to national reporters, kind of made the media circuit yesterday. And he said a lot of pretty transparent things about the Vikings quarterback situation. Namely, he talked about Sam Bradford and he said his knee is degenerative, quote unquote. He talked about Bridgewater and said that the two-year layoff is a little bit concerning. He said about Keenum, well, is he the guy that he was with the Rams or is he the guy he was with us? And it sounds like Zimmer's sort of trying to work through this just like the fans are, just like we are. He's asking himself the same questions we are asking. It almost came across like they really don't know what they are going to do yet.
Well, I think there's a couple of things going on here. And if you look at all these NFL teams, whether it's the the New York Giants or the Bears or the 49ers, everyone's putting a lot of information out there and nobody knows what's, you know, honest, what's, what's actually true. And what is sort of just a smoke screen to, you know, make people think different things. And so, you know, his spot right now, in some ways, you'd think would be to try to cheapen the value of those three players in the mm-hmm. sense of, you know, bring up questions. You know, we don't know if Case Keenum is the guy from 2017 or if he's the guy from, 2013 or 14 or something like that. Sort of put some doubt there. You know, Sam Bradford's knee, let's put some doubt out there. Teddy Bridgewater, we don't know how he is. He basically hasn't played in 2 years. Let's put some doubt out there. So I think that's, you know, probably part of their game plan is, rather than hyping these guys up so much, which then other teams might come in and pay more money, maybe we can lower the value by just a little bit by just sort of throwing out different questions about each of the quarterbacks that they have, you know, knowing that they're probably not going to – I cannot imagine them drafting one of these top four guys just because they're in a – it's time to win right now situation, and usually rookies don't win right now. But, we shall see what happens. A lot of smoke screens going on with every NFL team right now.
Yeah, when you put it that way, it actually makes a ton of sense because I was just saying a minute ago that it really is so atypical of Mike Zimmer to be as transparent as he was yesterday, which might mean that he's got an ulterior motive here. He's trying to maybe throw teams off the scent and just plant little seeds of doubt. And he did that successfully, I think, with all of the quarterback candidate. Now, the one name that didn't come up directly was Kirk Cousins, but Mike Zimmer did say that he doesn't want to sacrifice the team's strength, which is defense, which might be sort of telling. And that's the theory that I had from the beginning. You don't want to sacrifice defense, but the name Cousins didn't come up. And again, you can't do much with Cousins until that March 14th deadline when he officially becomes a free agent.
I think we talked about this last week. You know, his agent, Kirk Cousins' agent, is actually part of my old agency in Chicago. And, you know, when they're, you know, they might, I'm sure the Vikings, I believe they represent three or four guys out of that agency. So, you know, very easily Rick Spielman, can be talking to his agent about another player over dinner or whatever. And then, you know, somehow, you know, Kirk Cousins' name comes into the fold. That's sort of generally how it works with the sort of tampering that goes on. And my guess is that the Vikings have had conversations, with Kirk Cousins' agent, and everyone's trying to fill each other out and see what that money is. I think for Kirk Cousins, of the teams that are available that are going to give big money, to me, the Vikings make the absolute most sense. They've got good weapons on offense. They got one of the best defenses in the league. They're ready to win now. He's made $50 million the last couple of years. He's going to make, you know, probably $50 to $75 million guaranteed in this deal. I don't think going for every last dollar would be worth it to go to a team team, you know, say like Cleveland or, you know, a poor football team, you know, there's nothing better than winning. And I could see Kirk Cousins doing very well as a Minnesota Vikings quarterback.
Yeah, and I do get the instinct that the Vikings are going after him hard. The second that they decided not to franchise Keenum after they previously were thought to be franchising him, I think that was sort of the clue in to me that the Vikings want Cousins. Now, the way this could backfire is if they don't get Cousins, let's say he goes to the Broncos or Jets or whoever, and then you're left with these three in-house candidates, and now Zimmer has just planted those seeds of doubt with his own fan base. Let's say that, you know, Teddy ends up being the guy. You've kind of planted those seeds of, well, we're concerned about the layoff. They'll have to sell hope again on Teddy.
I think the Teddy situation is he's a mystery to everybody. So I don't think Zimmer's saying anything that the fans don't already know. I mean, nobody really knows. You're very hopeful. And I think everybody hopes, just as even if you're not a Vikings fan, that Teddy Bridgewater regrow his career and become an NFL starter like he was his first couple seasons. And so I think there's doubt either way. And I think if somehow Teddy Bridgewater is a starting quarterback going to week one next year, it'll be sort of a wait and see week to week to see how his knee holds up, to see how he plays, to see how he throws, and see you know where he is compared to what he was a couple of years ago.
Yeah. Okay, here's a contract question about the quarterbacks right now. So Drew Brees is going to be signing a new deal with New Orleans. There's talk that Aaron Rodgers is going to sign an extension with Green Bay, and obviously Kirk Cousins is going to get a massive deal too. So is it sort of a race to be last to sign amongst those quarterbacks because you want the previous quarterback to sign and set the precedent, and is that going to jack up the price for everybody? Like if Brees signs first, then Rodgers can negotiate. Rodgers has the benefit of waiting, I think, because he's still under contract. But like with Cousins, if he signs after Brees, then that becomes a leveraging piece, don't you think?
Yes, I do, and I think that I read an article yesterday. I believe the Packers would like to. Rodgers has, I believe, 2 years left on his contract, but they'd like to sign him an extension. You obviously got to believe he's got, you know, between 5 and 8 pretty good years left in him if he chooses to play that long. I was reading that the Packers were trying to sign Rodgers to an extension before Cousins' contract and before Brees' contract because, you know, if Brees signs a $30 million deal, you know, 1 year for $30 million or 2 years for $60 million or something like that, I mean, what's Aaron Rodgers worth? Is he worth $35 million at that point? So my guess is that the Packers would love to get Rodgers for $30 million or under number. I mean, Matt Stafford was $27 million. I believe he was the highest, and Garoppolo was right around $27 million also. So my guess is that, you know, Rodgers might be around that 30 mark, but if somebody signs for 30 before him, well, he's better. He's automatically going to be better, which means he needs to be paid more. So that number would go up. So my guess is the Packers will try to get his done as soon as possible.
But if you're Rodgers, don't you just wait for another month? Because you know Brees is going to come down the chute, you know, within 2 weeks. And same with Cousins. Don't you just wait till like late March and then sign? Because don't you want to see what the other guys made?
Yeah, you know, probably if those, you know, the couple million dollars, you know, really mean something to them. But it's sort of, you know, do you want to have the horses in the barn or do you want us to sort of see what goes on? And you never know, maybe some of those horses get out of the fences or whatever. So I guess we'll just have to see and wait. It plays out. He's got 2 more years left on his contract. My guess is that he and the Packers don't want to get into some battle a year from now, going into the last year of his contract, and it ends up being a disaster. Next thing you know, Aaron Rodgers is playing for somebody else.
Yesterday, Mike Zimmer fired some warning shots toward Laquon Treadwell. He said things like Laquon has to get out of his own way. Laquon is his own worst enemy. For instance, he gave a concrete example of Laquon going out during 2-a-days at training camp and running steps at 11 p.m. at night, like overworking. He's in his own head. He's trying too hard. And then he eventually said, I believe it was to the radio station, Zimmer said that he either has to figure it out or he needs a change of scenery. That is pretty harsh to say about a 30-year wide receiver. What do you think the status is on Treadwell, and do you think that the Vikings may part ways with Laquon Treadwell if he doesn't show improvement?
Yeah, this might be it for him this year. You know, the Vikings have, for the most part, hit on their first-round draft picks over the last few years, first, second-rounders, third-rounders. They've done a pretty good job, and you always have misses. And as of right now, you know, Laquan is a huge miss. And not only is a miss, but he's a miss at a position where they really, really badly needed a top-flight wide receiver. And Harrison Smith, first-rounder, is a great hit. Obviously, I think, Teddy, I'd consider him a hit, even though now that he's injured. You've had a lot of guys that have been, they haven't had a lot of misses recently, and he's been a big one. And, you know that you've made a mistake really almost first OTA. You go, gosh, he's just not getting separation. Gosh, he's really, really struggling to learn the playbook. Then over time, you get to training camp and you have more concerns, and now we're basically our third year into this thing, and nothing's really changed. And and unless you play a lot of special teams and do a lot of other things, I mean, right now he's their fourth wide receiver, maybe even fifth wide receiver. They might draft guys in the fourth, fifth, sixth round this year, then passing him by. So the first round thing, whether it's with a GM and a head coach and an owner, that means something. You get a little more time to develop, but if you're just not seeing any improvement, at some point you got to cut bait and move on.
And the messaging from Zimmer, is probably one of two things. It's either to send a message to Laquan to get him fired up, or it might be planting the seed to prepare the fans for maybe a letdown, like this guy hasn't carried his weight for 2 years, and we're going to part ways. And I've been looking at this wide receiver free agency class. It's not a very high-profile class, but the Vikings don't need high-profile. They just need, a wide receiver three. Last week, I tossed out a couple names here. Eric Decker, he's 30 years old, had a pretty good year with Tennessee. He'd be affordable. I don't think you're going to do a reunion with Mike Wallace, but, there's some other, Kendall Wright, Jerron Brown from Arizona, Danny Amendola from New England is a free agent. I think there's some guys that you can get maybe on a one-year deal, two-year deal, not too expensive, who can serve that wide receiver three role. What do you think about some of those names?
Well, I'd be interested in Amendola. I mean, obviously Tom Brady always seems to make everybody better, but, the Vikings could really use that third guy in the slot for third down, somebody who can really win those one-on-one matchups with that third cornerback. We got Stephon on one side and Thielen on the other side. You got to have that third guy in the middle. And I've always liked Jarius Wright, but I think Amendola is a step up from him, a guy that can get separation and get open and probably understands the game just a little bit at a higher level than Jarius. And the other thing is, as we're talking about, with a guy like Eric Decker, he isn't where he plays special teams. Eric's always been sort of a two for the most part in his career. Always had good numbers, but when you start talking about being maybe the fourth guy to come in, those guys are usually, on kickoff team, on the punt team, punt return team. They're out there doing other things because they're only getting, maybe 10 reps a game at wide receiver. And, Decker really hasn't, as far as I know, done that type of stuff in his career. But, man, I think he'd be a nice signing, actually, with the Vikings. They could use a veteran, a guy, another good guy in the red zone, another good guy that's just a high quality, player on the team to build that roster as far as a wide receiver position. So plus he's a hometown kid, and we need to sort of see him in the Vikings uniform.
Hometown kid, didn't he marry a pop star of some kind? Somebody famous?
Yes, her name is Jessie James. She was like a country music star. Now she does some sort of Slim Fast commercials or one of those weight loss meal plan commercials or something like that. I see occasionally out, but yeah, they've got at least one kid, if not two. Occasionally, I think I follow him on Instagram or something, and occasionally get a little spotlight into their life. But I remember when Eric Decker was at University of Minnesota, he was a baseball player, and he was a good wide receiver. I went over and threw one day with Larry Fitzgerald and these guys, and he was over there. And the first time I got to meet him, I was like, man, that's a good-looking athlete. I didn't expect him to be a second-round draft pick, about a year later. And he's had a really, really nice career for a kid coming from a small town.
Yeah, he was a beast at Minnesota for sure. Last one. So yesterday at the Combine, Billy Price, he is a first-round offensive line prospect, former teammate with Pat Elflein, might have been a Vikings target, doing his bench press, partially tears his pec. Could be a long recovery, might need surgery. I mean, how much money do you think he just lost by doing that drill, experiencing that injury, which might have probably never happened to him in his life until yesterday? What do you think that cost him?
Possibly a lot. I saw that the Bleacher Report draft scout Matt Miller, who's a great follow on Twitter for those who like following this draft type stuff. He's great all year long, and he had him as a late first round draft pick. He really liked him at one of the best centers in the draft this year, but he said that if he feels like if teams think that he can be healthy by training camp. And be sort of ready to go by training camp, it won't hurt his stock nearly as much. But, those pec injuries can be tough, and they can be, they can really affect you, strength-wise. He won't be able to do all that bench press stuff and all the upper body workouts. If he has surgery probably this week, he won't be able to do all that stuff, all spring and all summer. So, how strong is he going to be, once late July, early August comes around, and once the season comes around. So I believe it will hurt his draft stock some. But if you're looking, long term, 4 years down the line, maybe he doesn't play a ton as a rookie, but maybe halfway through his rookie year when he gets his strength back, and over the next 3 years after that, if he falls to say the second or third round, that could be a huge steal for a lot of football teams. I believe most players come back from pec injuries, but I feel like they usually do take, 4 to 5 months.
Yeah, that's a tough one for offensive linemen too, because you're jamming, you're punching, you're yanking, and you're using that muscle a lot. And I know Brandon Fusco for the Vikings had that, I think, 3 or maybe 4 years ago, and it cost him most of his season. So that's a tough one. I think Phil Loadholt also had that injury. Maybe that was Achilles. I can't remember. But the Vikings had pec issues a while back, early on with Mike Zimmer.
It happens a lot with those linemen, and I've actually seen I actually saw a torn pec when I was with the Houston Texans with an offensive lineman, and it was during the bench press. And this does happen in the bench press. And I remember at the time our strength coach Dan Raleigh, who one of my all-time NFL strength coaches, says the number one goal of the offseason is to not get injured. And he sort of had thrown out that question to him, what's number one goal of the offseason? Of course, guys are like, get better, improve, get in great shape, build, team camaraderie, learn the offense, all these things. He goes, no, the number one rule is to not get injured in the offseason. Because if you get injured in the offseason, you're not doing any good with OTAs and trying to make the team, the following year. So I saw it before when I was a player, and you see it again with the bench press with that pec tear. And I believe John Sullivan, before he came out, he had a pec tear going into the combine, still decided to bench press and did not do very well, which was maybe one of the reasons he slipped to the sixth round of the draft.
I think Sullivan made that money back for sure in his career. Still having a really nice career. He's not done yet. Good show, Sage. Thanks for your insights. A lot of good stuff coming out of the combine. Talk to you again next week, and hopefully have some more info and some more steam to go off of. Have a good weekend.
Yep. By the way, when everyone's watching the combine, just remember, and we're talking today, Kirk Cousins, fourth round draft pick, Case Keenum, undrafted. It's amazing. There's some of the top quarterbacks the Vikings might have on the roster next year, and they weren't first or second round guys. So I always take the combine with a grain of salt.
Great point. I wonder if Sam Bradford had a good combine.
I'm sure he had a great combine. He's like made for the combine. He probably didn't run. A lot of times quarterbacks just don't. They're not going to run their 40. And he's the guy that in shorts and T-shirts probably as good as anybody in the NFL. I mean, he's so accurate, and the ball comes out nice, and he's a big, tall kid, and whatever. But, all those drills are sort of pre-planned and pre-practiced, and they're not really real life. So it's the shorts and T-shirts Olympics, basically.
Yeah, I'm sure if you go back and look at younger Sam Bradford before the 3 knee injuries, he was probably a lot more athletic. Like, he was a big-time athlete in high school. I think he played
big-time
basketball
player,
Yeah. So I bet it would be a stark contrast a decade ago to watch Sam Bradford do this stuff than it would be today. Sage Rosenfels on Twitter, at Sage Rosenfels 18. I'm Sam Ekstrom, at Sam Ekstrom on Twitter, LockedOnVikings.com to listen to the show. Thanks so much for listening, everybody, and we will talk to you next week.